From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
All the hills in California. All the fields by the bay. Wouldn't compare with looking at. Wouldn't compare with you today.
The hills of California, from Low to Ground, from their project Quaker Gun. And that brings up all kinds. I already have all kinds of questions for these guys, but we do want to welcome into studio Brian Nixon and Eli Arigotti of Low to Ground. Thanks, you guys, for joining us.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
It's great to be with you, Steve.
Now, obviously, a lot of our listeners, Brian, are going to be very familiar with you. You join us often.
That's right.
Today being National Artist Day.
It's fitting.
I thought, well, why not get Brian in here? You know, I'm actually surprised, Brian, along with this new project, Quaker Gun, it didn't come with an accompanying book.
Yeah, I guess we could have done that. But, you know, Eli and I have spent so many years together doing music. Music just comes out of our pores naturally.
Well, this is not the first for you guys. Is this somewhat of a reunion of talent?
So I'll let Eli jump here in a minute, but I'll just give our listeners a little snapshot. So Eli and I in college formed a band called Canterbury. And Canterbury was basically a folk rock group with some world music overtones. We went on, we did fairly well. We won a Best of the Bay Area band, beat out a lot of other groups, and it was a fun time. But then a few of the members said, you know, we need to do maybe a little bit more specific ministry type music. So half of the group, Eli, myself, and a fellow by the name of Jeremiah Beck, who happens to be my brother-in-law, we formed a group called Widow's Mite. And Eli was the producer and engineer of that, and then later the bass player. And so we've collectively probably spent 10 years doing music together. But Eli, do you have any other input on that short synopsis?
Right. Yeah. So that's where it kind of all started. And then, after that all, you know, kind of ended, then Brian and I did a little bit here and there together, you know, musically, and we wanted to kind of continue writing. But, you know, life happened, and Brian ended up moving down to Southern California and kind of went from there various places and, you know, did his thing. And so there were several years there that kind of passed where we didn't do anything together per se. But then I think it was, two or three years ago, Brian, you and I kind of like reconnected, and because of technology, we were able to, you know, work on this project together. With me being in California and Brian being in New Mexico.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's actually Eli's idea. Eli had this brilliant idea. We were talking with some of the band members going, you know, maybe we should do a 25th reunion. And that kind of faded. And then Eli and I were on the phone one day, and they said, well, if everyone else can't do it, Eli said, we should do it. And I said, you're right, Eli, with technology, we could get this done. So we've worked out a little system, and I am very pleased with what Eli has produced here. It really is a beautiful album. And I'm just going to honk a horn here, Steve. Our friend Fernando Ortega listened to it, and that's exactly what he called it. He goes, this is a beautiful work or a beautiful album. So that was really very nice to hear that from someone who has won, you know, some major awards.
Now, we heard a taste coming into this segment of ABQ Connect. We heard, I'll mention it again, Hills of California from Low to Ground, from their project Quaker Gun. And I'm going to tell you, unsolicited, just either yesterday or just recently, I was talking to someone about this project, and they said, what kind of music is it? And I said, this is where I say, I don't know if unsolicited is the word, but prior to getting the notes we prepared today, that I could see you wrote, Americana Indie is exactly what I told them. So I feel kind of good about that because there are so many genres now, today to describe music. And actually one of them, you guys are using California Americana.
And I'm going to let Eli tackle that one, because it really is, the Southern California pop sound mixed with Americana music. But Eli, go ahead and unpack that.
That's right. So, you know, and anyone who, you know, knows about kind of history of California music, there's a lot going on. So starting with like the Bakersfield sound, we have some kind of like a Western and country type of music. And as we go further down south, then you end up hitting Hollywood that has tons of different types of music, you know, pop, rock, and that type of thing, as well as kind of course, Hollywood, which brings the cinematic vibe. And that was one of the reasons that we used that term California, was because this project has a lot of cinematic elements as well, with strings and orchestral types of things. And then also there are moments of very kind of like Americana elements. And so we've got some bluegrass instruments in there, dobro. And we also have ukulele, which kind of like brings about that whole beach sound. And so, you know, we kind of got that mix. That's the thing about California, is that there are so many different kind of vibes going on musically. And we took all those influences kind of and used those for this project.
Yeah, I want to imagine, because I'm imagining that you're near Brian's age, which isn't far from my age. And you guys, if you're like me, whether you were living in that area or not, you were influenced by music coming out of the Troubadour. And remind me, Brian, the area where Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and Joan Baez,
not the Malibu sound, but the Jacob Dylan just did a documentary on the Eli. Do you remember the sound that
it's like a valley? Is it a valley?
Haight-Ashbury?
No, Haight-Ashbury was Northern California.
It was a part of Southern California. Regardless, I want to tell you this, too, having graduated, not far, probably, are you still in the Bay Area, Eli?
I'm in the Central Valley, but fairly close to San Francisco.
Okay. So I graduated 40 miles north of Sacramento, in Yuba City, California. When I saw the title, Hills of California, it made me think immediately, maybe a little bit, east of Vallejo, kind of wine country, that those yellow rolling hills of California.
It's exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you drive up I-5, that's what you'll see pretty much the whole way.
Yeah. And it's got its own beauty, like any part, of America does. And you found it, Brian.
I found it. I had to. You know me, Steve. I found it. It's Laurel Canyon.
Yeah,
The Laurel Canyon sound. And that's, you're exactly right.
Well, now listen, if you just tuned in, we're visiting, with Brian Nixon, and Eli Arrigotti, members of Loaded Ground. Their new project is Quaker Gun, which by the way is available like everywhere, for free.
On SoundCloud particularly. Eli, your SoundCloud, do you know the call out letters, the website?
So I think if you go to SoundCloud and look up Loaded Ground, you can find that. So we haven't published it out for streaming quite yet. We're still waiting on a few things to kind of fall into place, and then we will. But yeah, right now you can listen to it for free on SoundCloud if you look up Loaded Ground. And you know, maybe we can post a link. Maybe we'll post a link on our Facebook page.
Yeah. Well, listen, not only were you obviously influenced by the bands we talked about, from whether it's Laurel Canyon or the Troubadour or other parts of California, I have to wonder, how much did Canterbury and Widow's Mite play into what you guys are doing here?
Well, definitely Canterbury sound. If you listen to Loaded Ground, it's very, very similar to Canterbury. So we went back to an earlier roots folk based thing. And as a matter of fact, Steve, you brought up Hills of California. Hills of California was one of the first of probably four songs that Eli and I did post Canterbury. So this is the oldest song on this album. We wrote it back in the mid to late 90s. And it was one of those ones that Canterbury had folded. Widow's Mite was kind of just getting started, and Eli and I started to write, and Hills of California was that. So it is the oldest song on this album.
Okay, now I have to give you some encouragement towards that, okay?
Okay.
Just a little bit of music history, and there's probably tons of stories like this. But when the Cars were preparing their Heartbeat City, their final album, they had to fill the out. They needed another song, and they pulled out this song called Drive that they had prepared, I want to say, on one of their first projects, and turned out to be, you know, for those familiar with the band, Rick Ocasek was the main lead singer.
Yeah, right.
But Benjamin Orr took lead on Drive,
right,
the Cars' only number one song ever.
Right.
And so here comes Hills of California.
That's right. And we started it. And what was interesting about Hills of California is it's a traditional love song. And, you know, and you were spot on, Steve, about the hills of California. There's a couple of nods to Modesto, California, yeah, in there as well. But Eli and I, when we were writing it, we just said, man, you know, this is turning out to be a pretty good song. But honestly, from what we originally recorded back in the 90s to now, the song has taken on a whole nother level because of Eli's production work. Eli is a very astute arranger now. He went off after we left and the bands broke up. He went off to Berklee College of Music in Boston, got his music degree from there. And you will hear this on Hills of California and other songs on this project. I mean, I just sit and go, wow, Eli, this is amazing.
Well, even just today, Eli, Brian will testify. We were talking about, you know, me sampling the project. And the composition is some of what got my attention. And actually, one of the questions I had too, and I'll throw this at you, Eli. I'm a faux musician, a pseudo musician.
You're a musician at heart, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't always. Is that really strings, or is that really brass?
Yeah.
Happy to say, I asked Brian about the brass and he said it was.
It's real brass. And Eli could explain all that. And let me just say for our listeners who listen to this, to give another shout out for Eli, I played not an instrument on this.
Oh.
Eli played all of the instruments with other musicians.
That's saying a lot for people who don't know you, Brian.
It's saying a lot, but the distance means that I can't. But Eli, go ahead and explain some of what went on into all this instrumentation.
Sure. So, as you'll probably hear when you listen to the songs, they're kind of based around acoustic music, folk music. So there's an acoustic guitar in every song. It kind of like is the groundwork for everything. And that's where we started. And then from there, we kind of built on it. So I added instruments kind of based on, you know, what the requirements of the songs were. And so some of those instruments, are real live instruments. Like the trumpets are all live and those types of things. And some of the other things, obviously, we don't have a Hollywood budget, so we can't afford to hire a whole string section. So those are actually what are called sampling libraries. So they are real strings that have been sampled, but then they're sequenced, with, production techniques. And so, the better you are at that and the more you know what strings should sound like, the more they will sound like strings. And because that's what they originally are, they are recorded strings and then just kind of like played back as samples. So an example of that might be the old technology was the good old Mellotron, that was on Strawberry Fields. So you hear this kind of flute sounds. Well, those were recordings of flutes, but the playback on the Mellotron. So that was an early technology of that sampling type of thing, and things have come a long way now so that what you end up hearing is sounds like real strings because they are real strings, but it allows indie musicians like us to access an orchestra and be able to arrange and compose that way. So that's, to answer your question a long way, that's what those sounds are.
But you did play the trumpet, and then you hired out a brass band from Brazil. Is that's correct, right, Eli?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so there's one song that has Daylight Come, Daylight Go, has a trumpet solo, so I played that. And then for the brass section, I arranged everything, so I made notation for all of it, and And I sent it off to a group in Brazil that records horns, and they recorded live horns. So I think there's a tenor sax, trombone, trumpet, and they recorded it and sent it back to me, and then I mixed it in.
Okay, so I started the segment saying there's plenty to talk about just with the titles, whether it's the song, the group, or the project. Quaker Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to take that one on for me?
Well, I'll start it, and
Brian will do that.
Yeah, yeah. and then Eli could jump in. So Quaker Gun is pulled from one of our lyrics. Actually, Daylight Comes, Daylight Goes, that Eli just mentioned. It's a line in the song, and the song is what Eli and I call a broken love song. You know, it's someone who's left someone else, and they're trying to restore their relationship, and so he's out, you know, looking for this person, and Quaker Gun has a historical reference. Quaker guns during the Civil War were fake guns. They were guns that were painted to look like real guns to fool the enemy. So in the song, Quaker Gun takes on the role of a metaphor of this broken relationship, and they're trying to mend their relationship. And as a matter of fact, half of the album deals with kind of relational type songs. So Quaker Gun is from the song, but it kind of represents, you know, as a metaphor for the album of relationships.
So, and really there's a couple of songs on the album that are relationship based.
Mm-hmm.
Including the one we started,
Hills of California, yeah, right?
The segment with before we go to a break, I want to address the song Anna. Mm. Who can tell me more about Anna?
Well, that was one that started with Eli and I going back and forth on the phone. It's funny technology. Eli said, you know, a Brazilian band played, you know, the horns. Well, I'll start a little song, send it to Eli, and then we just go back and forth. But what Eli did with the production, I'll let him talk about, because it really is a beautiful production.
Okay, so before we go to that, because I'm going to ask you about the inspiration for the song as well. Here's a quick sample of Anna. It's from the project Quaker Gun by Low to Ground.
Anna, I call your name. Look out the window pane. I have wilted flowers in hand. Anna, you know I'm a broken man.
All right, that's Anna. It's on the project Quaker Gun by Low to Ground. Hey, if you just tuned in, we're in studio with Brian Nixon and Eli Arigotti. And before we sampled Anna there, Brian, you were kind of throwing it to Eli. Eli, tell us a little bit about the production of Anna and the inspiration for the song.
Yeah, for sure. I'll talk about the production a bit, but and kind of just tell you what caught me on this, because Brian was mentioning that he would you know, kind of communicate with me and send me some ideas, and we'd send ideas back and forth. Most of that is like phone messages, like very simple recordings being sent back and forth. So I would kind of cull through stuff he sent me, and he would listen to what I was talking about. And anyway, this one stood out, and there was something cool about it, I thought, just in this kind of crazy relationship that it talks about, you know, between this girl, Anna, and this guy who loves her so much, but they're constantly getting in fights, and, you know, things are just, like, not calm by any means. I loved that about it. But then it was contrasted with kind of the style of the song, which is really a very simple, kind of guitar-driven, vocal type of song. And then it continues to grow, and there's some orchestral elements, and then it comes back down. And then that all kind of just, like, goes back to this whole kind of tumultuous relationship that's going on in the song. And it's interesting because this is the only song on the album that has no drums at all, right? Because I just thought that this one needed that kind of treatment where it's very heartfelt, almost like a guy standing at the window singing to this girl, singing his heart out, and at the same time she's kind of like throwing cold water on him and just because she's a little bit high maintenance, let's say. So anyway, I'm going to pass it back to Brian just to let him talk about more of the inspiration of that song.
And I knew when Eli played me Anna that he was good. You know, he honestly, I just go, man, Eli, you did some good stuff. Technically, you asked me before the radio interview, Steve, you know, some technical questions, and it's in 3/4. It's acoustic guitar driven. And then it has this beautiful string arrangement that Eli put in there. But the inspiration behind the song, and I know this sounds funny, but it always comes back to this integration of, you know, Christians engaging culture. And that is, I'm a big fan of Tom Waits.
Okay, right.
And Tom Waits is one of my favorite singer-songwriters. And I've always been a fan of his music. And back on his very first album, released in 1973, is kind of that Southern California, the Eagles picked up on his songs and so on and so forth.
Yeah, what was the song the Eagles covered from Tom?
Was it The Car? What's The Car song? Chevy 55, old 55?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, so Tom Waits has some beautiful songs, and I thought, well, you know, as an inspiration, I'm going to do one of those type of what I call Waitsian type songs. So I started it, and as Eli pointed out, it's very primitive. It literally is me on my iPhone, and I send it to him, and he goes, yeah, I like that, or I don't like this, and then, you know, we go back and forth. And then next thing I know, you know, when he started to work on this song, it was like, wow. But Eli's right. It's basically about, again, going back to that larger theme of a broken relationship, of a guy and a girl trying to work out their life.
Well, we're visiting today with Brian Nixon and Eli Arigotti. Load of Ground is the name of the group, and the project is Quaker Gun. And you said Sound... What's the website for finding
SoundCloud?
SoundCloud, and do a search. It's a project you don't want to miss. We have more to talk about. We're going to come back and visit more right after the break on ABQ Connect.
This is a call to action. I'm Michelle Garcia Holmes, and I'm running for United States Congress. There's so much at stake this election cycle: the life of the unborn, your safety, the cost of living, and most of all, our religious freedom. I'm calling on every Christian from every church to step out of the pews and go to the polls and cast your vote. I ask for your vote. Send a woman of faith to Washington that will protect and stand strong for our values.
Paid for by Garcia Holmes for Congress.
A portion of the programming heard on KLYT is underwritten by a gift from David and Carol Beth Stewart of Black Bear Medicare. David and Carol Beth are both licensed, independent Medicare brokers and advisors providing no-cost consultation to educate those making decisions about Medicare plans and to clarify Medicare information seen on TV and in the mail. Black Bear Medicare, 505-363-9191. BlackBearMedicare.com, 363-9191.
Hi, this is Jim Daly with Focus on the Family. Elections matter because they involve people, and God loves people. Elections can have serious consequences, but we don't need to live in fear as if we're without the hope of eternity. And I don't believe we should be unengaged either. We weren't put here on this earth to simply mark time. We're here to make a difference. And that's a God-given privilege and responsibility. So let me encourage you to exercise your duty as a Christian citizen and vote.
Our lives are punctuated by defining moments, pivot points that shape who we are now and who we'll become, such as choice of marriage partner or where we choose to work, as Skip Heitzig observes.
There's predictable events that happens, like in your life, but every now and then, life sort of hits you by surprise. It comes crashing down on you. You are going a direction, your day is planned out, but you get a phone call from a doctor or a friend. The news is not good, the prognosis is not good, and you didn't see it coming.
God's Word has the direction to get you through the planned and unplanned pivot points in your life. The Pivot Point Package speaks to marriage, death, depression, recovery, fear of the future, and moving to a new location or job. Get these teachings that include written personal direction from Skip on each of these topics. You'll receive this package when you give $50 or more today to this Bible teaching ministry. We'll send you Pastor Skip's Pivot Points collection of 6 messages, plus an encouraging letter from Pastor Skip so you can strengthen your faith in defining moments.
A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted.
Get these critical Pivot Point messages today when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
I was told it would disappear, but it always ends in tears. Turn my head or face the fear, but it always ends in tears. It always ends in tears.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Just a few minutes to wrap up our time today. We're visiting with Brian Nixon and Eli Arigotti of the band Low to Ground and their new project, Quaker Gun. Actually, what you just heard was one of the songs from that project, or a sample of it at least, Bear It in Tears. And guys, this one's on a sensitive subject.
It really is a sensitive subject, Steve. It's about child abuse. And the inspiration came, I was reading a Christian publication called Messenger Magazine, and Messenger did an article of these Nigerian women who were captured and abused in Africa, of course. And it really moved me. And so I kind of took that story, that theme, and I said, what would it look like if, and I had in my head when I started it, what would it look like a young girl trying to tell a story of her being abused as a child? And Bear It in Tears is the result. Now, what's funny about this, not funny, but kind of the song is fairly happy. I mean, it, musically, Eli has this beautiful dobro line. It's in a major key, but the topic and the theme is very heavy and very deep. Would you agree, Eli?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's interesting because this is one of the few that's fairly straightforward, kind of like I wouldn't say country, but more like Americana sound, you know. And, if you just listen to the music, you might think, oh, yeah, it's kind of an upbeat, happy song. But as you dive deeper into the lyrics, you'll notice something that there's something kind of hurt and broken down in there for sure.
Well, you know, I do want to mention, I don't think we've mentioned it yet on today's show. We talked about it off the air. Today's national. Oh, I did mention it.
You did mention it.
Today's National Artist Day. And that's exactly what you're going to get when you pick up this project or you listen to it on SoundCloud. It is Americana indie. We talked earlier about the California Americana sound that's found on it. You know, one of the things I did want to touch on, and Brian, you've mentioned Christianity a couple of times during the interview, and this is what I would think a lot of people listening to would say. Well, if it's Christian, it's overtly Christian. I'm not even sure if that's the right way to describe it. One of the things I think you and I and Eli, talking with him a little bit off the air, all appreciate, is the quote from C.S. Lewis that talks about, the need not necessarily for more Christian books, but more Christians writing books. Mm-hmm. And I think when people pick up an album that's stuck in a genre, the Christian genre, whether it's Christian, inspirational or adult contemporary or whatever, there's a certain, you know, they expect a Bible message coming out of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And those will be found in these songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that because I know the guys who wrote them and mm-hmm. performed them are Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say too much. I want to leave you guys to talk about some of the things we've talked about. What's going to flow out of a Christian who writes a song about relationships?
I'll let Eli jump in here in a minute, but let me just go back to the first half of the broadcast where you mentioned Canterbury. Canterbury was 5 Christian guys, but rarely did we do a praise and worship. We did life songs, and we committed back in those days that we were just going to be honest and relevant and real in what we did. And here's the funny thing. we said we're going to be biblical in the full orb sense.
Yeah.
The Bible has songs of breakup in relationships and murder and strife and mayhem and all of these things. So we said there's nothing that we can't touch upon in our music. And so following Canterbury's lead, fast forward, you know, to Low to Ground, we've kind of followed the same suit. But Eli, go ahead and jump in and give your two cents.
Yeah, yeah. We've always thought about art and music, you know, like that, in that we are Christians, you know, living this life and we experience it in a certain way. And so we're going to kind of like come from it at that, from that perspective. And maybe not every song is going to like answer the question. Maybe it's like some of the psalms that just cry out like, you know, God, where are you? Like that kind of thing. And so that may not end up answering, you know, the question, you know, of the solution. So we're okay. Like we're comfortable with expressing that. But then also at the same time, writing songs of hope or writing songs of, you know, longing. And then maybe there is some solution. So we didn't want to take anything off the table when it comes to that type of thing. And there certainly is a place, you know, for sacred and worship and holy music, for sure. Absolutely. And we think that's important as well. But a lot of what we do ends up being just kind of life lived and experiences that you have. And a lot of them aren't always great. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be able to express that.
And, Brian, I know you mentioned one of the books that you've written, not only what we're just now talking about, but when we experience art, mm-hmm, in that maybe comes from people who don't have a relationship with Jesus, even then there's an opportunity to find Christ in those things, that we can use those to start conversations with others.
That's right. Yeah, you're referencing my book, Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture. And you're right. I use Sam Shepard, Cormac McCarthy, Andy Warhol, a whole host of people that aren't believers. And we boil it down to where you could find elements of Christ in their work. And I think that's what we do with Low to Ground. You know, we may not, as Eli pointed out, may not offer a psalm song right now, but we're offering a realistic song that hopefully you could find some redemption and hope. And other times, I love what Eli said. We don't answer the question for the people, but we're posing it. You know, you brought up Anna, but also on the album is Sparkle in My Eye. Eli sings the lead on that song. And that is a very loving, hope-filled song. It's about a couple that's been together for 60 years, and he's still pursuing his wife, and he loves her. And, you know, the chorus is, you know, I basically chase you around the world still to this day after 60 years of marriage. So there are those moments on the album. They're not all broken love songs. There's some wonderful, hope-filled songs as well.
Well, listen, I appreciate your guys' time. Listen, not only do I appreciate your time today, I appreciate the time you guys took to put into this project, that you could share it with us and share it with the world via the web on SoundCloud. And I'm going to let you, because you understand where this is and how to find it better, Eli, let the listener know how to find it on SoundCloud.
Right. So right now you can just go to SoundCloud.com and just do a search for Low to Ground and you'll find us. And the other way is if you find Brian Nixon on Facebook, he's got a link to it there as well.
All right. Well, guys, again, thank you for your time today. And let us know when there's something new we can talk about.
Oh, we will, Steve.
All right.
Thanks so much.
ABQ Connect.